going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Reason to be optimistic tonight if you're the Rockets. Ryan Hollins joined us at 6:50, Rockers TV color analyst, 10-year NBA vet, formerly of First Take, ESPN. Ryan Hollins said a lot of things in that interview, by the way, that we can touch on again, but this one is what he talked about in regards to optimism for Houston tonight.
But I'm extremely optimistic for tonight. Houston actually did a lot of things well in that last game, and I'm going to give you one thing that really stands out for me. What really stands out for me is that Houston was able to be physical. If Golden State was more physical and they won that battle, I think Houston ends up with 20 offensive rebounds, I'd be extremely concerned. And that's a huge part of why they struggled in that second quarter. But because they were able to win the rebounding battle and be physical and do elements of what they do well, I think there's a huge chance for Houston to win this game tonight.
See, I think it's as simple as they just need to hit shots. When they have open shots, they need to hit them.
So who do you fear? If you're the Warriors and you could take away one particular person, who is the guy that you try to take away from the Houston Rockets?
Well, listen, Şengün's going to get his. The Warriors can't match his size. He's that guy. He's that dude. Am I fearing Jabari Smith? Well, he played 25 minutes, but he didn't shoot the ball a whole hell of a lot.
I do like him as a player.
I do like him, too. So maybe Ime Udoka says, hey, you need to shoot more in this game and a little less from Fred VanVleet, a little less from Jalen Green, a little more Jabari Smith. So maybe it's that. It's whoever has the hot hand in this game outside of Şengün for me. I don't know who it's going to be, Joe, because quite frankly, everyone else kind of sucked shooting the ball. Amen Thompson, maybe. He was 4 of 9.
Nah, I don't fear him.
Four free throws, two in a row.
It's VanVleet for me. I know he's had a really poor shooting numbers.
I think the size of the Warriors just bother him.
Yeah,
he's 6 feet tall.
He's the only real, like, what I would consider, like, good shooter in terms of, like, guy that you definitely need to honor to some degree. I know his shooting numbers have been very poor the last, whatever, 2 months. Steiny was rat-a-tat-tatting.
He's been awful, specifically against the Warriors, too. Horrible.
But I do worry about him getting hot. Like, Dylan Brooks, he'll hit a couple early. It's like, that's a good thing, because you know he's going to miss late. I have zero fear of Dylan Brooks being clutch in terms of long-range shooting.
Although this is a career year for him from beyond the arc. He's actually been pretty good this year, shooting the three-point ball.
But in a game that matters...
I hear you. I hear you.
I'm going back to not trusting him. Amen Thompson. No, I fear him in transition. I fear him around the rim. I don't fear him from beyond 15 feet. Now, Jabari Smith's another guy I would put into this category. I think you're going to see a lot more of him. The other guy that we haven't brought up is Tari Eason.
He was bad.
He was, but
shooting the ball.
I worry about him a lot. I think he's an X factor for them.
I thought he was bad shooting the ball defensively. I thought he was flying all over the place, but they had a lot of bad and knuckleheaded turnovers. Jabari Smith was one of those guys who, although he shot the ball well, he had 4 turnovers. Like, that can't happen. That's why he's going to keep his minutes probably down in this game. Do we see anyone? Do we see a Reed Shepard, right? Do we see something like that? Do we see an adjustment there? Steve Kerr talked to Willard and Dibbs yesterday, Joe, and he says he doesn't expect massive changes from the Rockets in game 2.
I would say most coaches wait until after 2 games to make a major adjustment, whether it's a rotational addition or you know, a scheme change. I don't expect, you know, massive changes from Ime. They know who they are as a team. They've had a great year. They have a real identity. And so we kind of know, you know, they're going to be physical, they're going to defend, and they're going to rebound. And I don't think too much will change from that philosophy.
I mean, he says two games, but if the Rockets lose these two games and their home court is kaput, it's not looking good for them. So I do think in this game, if things aren't going well, they don't like a matchup, they will pivot very quickly, and maybe they go to a player on the bench that can shoot the ball just a little bit better, because the Rockets can't be as bad as they were shooting the ball on Sunday. And conversely, I think the Warriors and their role players can step up and shoot the ball a whole hell of a lot better.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about, you know, whatever their shooting numbers are throughout the regular season. I'm looking at, like, just this matchup, right? And I'm thinking to myself, like, anything Şengün gives you, to me, is you just kind of, like, accept it.
Correct.
If I'm the Warriors. If he goes for 40 and nobody else is hitting from the outside, I actually think that plays right into the Warriors' favor.
It was kind of like when the Warriors would play the Cavs, the Kevin Durant era, where you knew you're probably going to win the series, and LeBron's going to get his 40, 45, whatever. What are the others doing?
I was
right?
going to go Mozgov, but okay, LeBron.
Sure. But no, but LeBron always does. I'm saying, yeah, he's their best player.
Yes.
Şengün's their best player. I know they're going to do that. Like, I know Anthony Edwards for the most part, or Ja yesterday, right? They're probably going to get theirs. Desmond Bane, I can't let him get hot, right? I can't get the Santi Aldamas of the world getting hot, right? So I think you mentioned Amen Thompson. You don't really fear his jump shot, right? It's him trying to get to the hoop, get to the lane.
Well, it's him getting, it's basically in transition.
In transition, right?
This is where this team, I think,
steam.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw was it Tari Eason with the block the other day?
Oh, so sick block. After he turned it over,
the athleticism from some of these guys on this team is tremendous. And so you're trying to limit the live ball turnovers, because you're never going to be able to compete with them getting back on D. You're just not. And you want to have a set defense ready to go in the half court. And then I'm mixing it up. Maybe it's a little man-to-man. Maybe I'm doubling certain guys to get the ball out of their hands. But I think the big thing that I noticed from the Warriors is they force the Rockets into late shot clock execution. And they just don't have a lot of guys who can create off the dribble for themselves.
A player that's interesting for me, and while he's not a great, like, offensive, you don't look at this guy to shoot or score a lot, but he was super affected. He was the only player that was a plus category in the plus minus for the Rockets on Sunday. By the way, could you guess?
Steven Adams.
There you go, right there. Steven Adams was a plus +4, and he played 20 minutes for them, 3 of 4. He had 5 offensive rebounds and 12 boards.
Here's what I would do with him, though. If he catches the ball, hack him.
Yep.
Make him shoot free throws. I would rather.
0 for 2. Hack a Shaq.
He might have shot.
Hacking Adam.
The worst free throw I've ever
seen. I said that in the chat. Oh. He clanked it to the side, didn't hit the rim, barely grazed the backboard.
I would rather airball than miss that back.
It was awful.
It was so bad. Honestly, he's the only NBA player in the league that I might take our audience over in the, what do you call it? The knockout tournament.
You would even take my jump shot
it was
over him.
So bad.
There you go.
Hey, he has to consider shooting. No, you're.
I made it to the finals, people. My ball went in. It might look ugly. It went in. Okay, Joe? Hey, I made it to the finals. Where'd you go in that knockout tournament?
I was knocked out immediately.
Thank you. Moses Moody, by the way. We haven't played any of this.
I love how this is like a referendum on my athleticism.
Well, no, it's not. Just letting people know that some people are built.
Where did you grow up, punk?
Some people are built for the free throw line of big moments, like Sasha Vujacic, game 7 of the NBA Finals, soaking wet off the bench. Didn't play a whole game, comes
you
in.
Say the name Sasha Vucevic. I think of him with the thin little headband, the soccer flailing. God, he drove me nuts.
Moses Moody said something yesterday, and he was on with Steiny and Evan filling in for Goo. Goo back today, by the way. But Steiny and Evan yesterday, Moses Moody joined them, and this is what he had to say about the Warriors and their chances over Houston.
I think we can score better than them in the half court. Definitely, they bring a lot of pressure. So as long as we can control the ball, limit turnovers, when it comes down to it, I think we're a better team. So the more that we can use that and not let them just play fast and get out with, then I think it'll be better for us.
We're a better team, is what he said there. We're a quote We're a better team.
You know, in the words of Berner, it sounded like there were seashells clicking in the background of that phone call.
FBI
were the feds listening to Moody?
FBI was tapping in. Oh, Agent goodness. Harris from The Sopranos tapping in there.
What was going on there?
Yeah, it was not a great connection there, but hopefully the connection is better.
And that was on what show?
That was with Steiny and Goo yesterday.
God, they get all the good guests.
Well, not the best lines, though, clearly there.
You know, it is a trip, and I'm going to tell Guru this when I see him. I love him dearly, and I know, look, we all have things going on.
Are you taking a shot at Guru right now?
He's the
doing?
Anti-Cal Ripken of this station.
Come on. He was going through some serious stuff, and it's just, come on.
He'd get a good chuckle out of that.
You were out Friday and Thursday.
With the game on the line, who do you rely more on, Andrew Wiggins or Guru? It's a joke. It's a joke, people.
Was Guru a first one eliminated in the knockout tournament again this year?
Me and him both. Like,
does Daryl the Guru Johnson owe us an explanation?
Yeah,
let's not go down that road.
I wonder if Goo's in on Shador to the Niners. He might be.
Would love Shador to the Niners.
Here's more on Moses
Just
Moody.
For the content.
Right? Here's more from Moses Moody. Real quick, did you like him saying we're a better team than the Rockets? Like, outwardly, he just said that. We're a better team than them.
Yeah, but I don't think he meant it in a disrespectful way.
Well, is there any other way to say it than just saying we're a better team? Like,
well, I think athlete belief is a different thing than, like, oh, we think they're not good at all. Like, that's a completely different thing.
Like, would he have said that if they're going up against the Lakers next round is what I'm saying? I don't know if he would have said that. Like, it's like the Rockets feels like we could talk about the Rockets because they haven't shown then they're proven anything in this league, right? We're a better team than them, right? But I mean, why are you looking at me like, I'm just saying.
I mean, they are.
Okay.
And they're going to go out and they're going to prove it.
Well, then they should tonight and go up 2-0 is what I'm saying.
I didn't think it was some malicious thing.
No, I was just asking how did you feel about that as a fan, your guys saying like that. I don't mind. And Moses Moody is such like an old soul and like he's so calculated, such a smart player. And he's like really his personality has shined a lot on the court, I feel like, this year because we've seen finally a happy, consistent Moses Moody on the court. That's why I think those shots that he had in the fourth quarter
are huge.
So huge for the mentals for him. And I know Anthony Slater, he mentioned yesterday, he's like, you know, Moses Moody, he's played in the playoffs before. Remember, he had to take over for Wiggins who got hurt in that Lakers series. I was like, yeah, but it's different starting. It always is, right? It's always different starting than coming off the bench. There's a mindset there that is different. There is a different weight on your shoulders early on in that game. And you find out if you're ready to be that key contributor. And I thought late in that game, he showed why he was. By the way, this one was great. More from Moses Moody talking about some of those crazy Curry shots that Ryan Hollins was mentioning. Kevin Harlan on the call saying geometrically that should not be possible. Well, you just expect it now at this point if you're Moses Moody.
It's sad to say it's really become kind of normal around here to see it so much. And it's still amazing. The same thing I've been watching since I was in middle school. But, you know, in the heat of the game, in the midst of it, you just have to win those games, and then you can unpack it a little bit later.
It's become kind of normal just to see Steph do the things that he does, which is insane. And will we have more crazy Stephen Curry shots tonight? He had so many in that game. Maybe he doesn't. That's just kind of how things happen, right? But the game that he had on Sunday, if he replicates that performance, 31 points, 12 and 19, 5 and 9 shooting, 6 boards, 3 assists, yeah, I think they're probably winning this game again. Like, if I'm Houston, I need to shut Stephen. I need to shut one of those guys down, right? Whether it's Jimmy or Steph, and force anyone else to step up on the Golden State Warriors, God, right?
Can you imagine if Buddy Hield had, like, a 15-point game?
No, I couldn't imagine it. It's been a while.
I can't even imagine a 15-point series.
That's, wow.
Really?
Lubman off the top rope? Going John Cena on his ass? Damn.
I do think that Pods could have
you
an explosion.
Can't see me, Sam.
I do believe that Pods could definitely have an explosion in the next couple of games because he's going to get a lot of wide open looks with all of the attention centered around Steph. And now they're going to put a little more attention on Jimmy Butler. And he's going to play in a lot of those overlapping lineups. So him having a 20-point plus game, I don't think is out of the realm either.
You talked about Pods. Here's Steve Kerr yesterday on Willard and Dibbs talking about Pods and post and how they fared in their playoff debuts.
Thought they handled it well. You know, Brandon made some huge plays for us, really played well. I think it was great for Quentin to get really his first taste of the NBA playoffs. Brandon, has played 2 years now, so he's got a lot more experience than Quentin, played in the play-in last year. But for both guys, it felt like
the last couple of weeks have already been the playoffs, you know, and the Memphis game is absolutely a playoff game, whether they want to call it that or not. So, I don't know. I just think that young players need that experience. They need to feel that vibe. And these last few games have been really good for both guys.
I'm with them on like some of these games that aren't titled playoffs because they're at the end of the year. They were playoff games.
Yeah.
Because you were fighting for your life, essentially, and your season.
No.
So I 100% agree with him.
Quentin Post, he's an interesting one tonight because I do think he could be a key factor in the series. He just has knockdown shots. Can he knock down some shots early, get some confidence early in this game? And that's what it comes down to, that word.
Quiet the crowd.
Quiet the crowd. Like, and again, they were pretty quiet for most of that game. Like that, for most of that game, they were pretty damn quiet.
And I think they're going to know. It's like if it's the second half and it's, you know, Warriors up by 6, 7, 8, you're going to feel the tension in that fourth quarter.
What is it? Lemon booty, what Bonte likes to say? Yeah, a lot of tight butts
lemon
in that
booty.
Arena.
What is it called? Lemon booty is looming large.
Lemon booty is looming large. Yeah, puckering up. Puckering up right there. No, for sure, though. Like, if it's true. Houston, they're 0-4 against this team in the playoffs. There's a psychological edge that the Warriors just have over this team where I'm like, it's almost the reverse of what the Chiefs have over the Niners is what the Warriors have over the Rockets. All the big games, all the big moments, all the play, their best teams, the Rockets' best teams in the playoffs the last 2+ decades since Hakeem and all of them, like, have been the James Harden and Chris Paul Rockets, and they just could not get over the hump. So for them to finally get back to the playoffs only to play the Warriors again, yeah, I'd be like, God, are you serious? Again?
Well, it's because, you know, Yao should have been ours.
Oh, that's why.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's okay. The curse of Yao.
Please.
Yao, we lost the most amount of games that year. Yao was the number one player coming out, and we should have had him. We ended up with the third pick.
Well, it all worked
it
out.
It was a travesty.
If you kept Yao Ming, you might not have gotten Stephen Curry.
Well, so, and also,
butterfly effect.
We wouldn't have had Mike Dunleavy, and now Mike Dunleavy wouldn't be the GM currently.
Look at, see? It all works out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.